Well, good morning. Welcome to worship here at Romeo United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Devin, and it's a joy to be with you, joy to be worshiping with you on this day. I have a couple of quick things to share, some of those sign-ups that we have going on. I just want to make sure you're aware of them. First being that Vacation Bible School, the plans are being made, the progress is being made. It's coming, ready or not. I know Margie's been working hard with her team, all the people that are helping out. We appreciate that so much. There is a volunteer sign-up sheet downstairs if you still want to help. If you have something that you, even if you can only help for part of the week, we'll take you. There is specifically a need for somebody to help with the sound booth and playing some of the videos and things. If you've never done that before, I promise we can bring you up to speed. We can show you how to do it if you can help out during VBS. And also, if you had taken one of the tags for the snacks, if you can make sure that gets back, or Sandy will be down there sorting that stuff after service. Just let her know you're bringing yours back so they know that they have everything they need for VBS. And maybe just as importantly, or more importantly, keep all those leaders, all those people who will be helping with VBS, keep them in your prayers as they're making their preparations, as they're getting ready to receive those students, that it will be a good week of sharing God with all those who come into our church for VBS this year. Also downstairs in the fellowship hall, there are some His Table slips for July 11th. The United Women in Faith, I believe, is hosting the meal. And they have some slips down there if you can help them by bringing some of those supplies. That meal is on July 11th. We also have the special music sign up down there. We've gotten a few people added onto it. But if you want to share a gift of music with us at some time during the summer, I encourage you to pick a date that's down there and come and sing, play, dance, tell jokes. I don't care what the special music is. We just like to have people share those gifts during service. So that sign up is down there. And finally, the sign up for the meal at Simpson Park during their camp meetings is coming up. We're going to have a pizza dinner like we've had in the past. It's just a great time to get together up there at Simpson Park. And this year, the Wednesday night that we're having that meal is also the memorial or the service that they have to honor those who have passed in the past year. And Linda Shenburn will be honored during that service. She contributed so much, not just to our church, to our community and to Simpson Park. And so she'll be recognized during that time. So we encourage you, if you can join us, to come and be a part of that meal for fellowship and then to pay our respects. And those were the announcements that I had made or had been asked to make. And so now we're gonna center our hearts, we're going to center our minds, and we're going to sing some praise to God. We're going to spend this time in prayer and singing and worship. So I ask you to stand with me as we sing this opening hymn. It's number 369, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, hymn number 369.
Will you pray with me? Lord, as we walked through the doors, as we came to this place of worship, we've brought with us our cares and our concerns, our joys and our sorrows. So in this time, touch our hearts. Heal us, we pray, O Lord. Make us ready to be your faithful disciples, ready to serve at all times and all places where you call us. Make us ready to learn and grow closer and deeper in our relationship with you through this time together. We pray this all in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may please be seated. Our first scripture reading for today comes to us from Romans. It's Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 23. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, so that you obey their desires. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become enslaved to righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your limitations, for just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, leading to even more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what fruit did you then gain from the things of which you now are ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the fruit you have leads to sanctification, and the end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This ends our first reading for this morning. And this time I'm going to invite any of the children or students, the young people that are with us, to come forward and join me on our steps for a time with children. You five look familiar. Well, good morning, boys and girls. How are you doing this morning? Good? I'm glad you're doing good. So I have a question, and I know the answer for the five of you, but it's summer, and what's an activity we like to do in summer? What's something we like to do? We like to go swimming, right? Yeah, we've been doing that a fair amount since it's gotten nice and sunny out, and yesterday we went to go swimming, didn't we? We went to Grandma and Pa's house, and we got to go swimming. But one of us forgot something to go to the pool. Yeah, what did I forget?
His bathing.
I forgot my bathing suit. It's kind of a problem if you want to go swimming not to have a bathing suit. And so I wish this was the first time I have to say this, but it's not the first time I haven't had a bathing suit when I needed it, or the first time I had to wear one of my father-in-law's bathing suits to go swimming.
You look like such an old man.
Thank you for that. He said I look like such an old man. Thank you for that. But As I wore Pa's bathing suit, I just had my trunks on, right? Normally when we go swimming, I have a swim shirt I wear, don't I? That just keeps me from having to put sunscreen on, keeps me from getting sunburned. I didn't have that yesterday. So what happened to my shoulders yesterday? I got sunburned. And it hurts. It hurts a little bit right now, even as I'm sitting here. I joked I might have to preach without a shirt on how it felt last night because it was bothering me so much. Thankfully, that's not happening. Don't worry. But I got sunburned at the pool, and it kind of made me stop and think, you know, that kind of happens in our lives sometimes. Sometimes we make a mistake or we forget something. I forgot my bathing suit. I made a mistake. And then something happened, and it caused a little discomfort, a little pain even, right? I got sunburned because of that choice or that thing that had happened to me. And I got the sunburn right now, but the good news is that pain, that it's not going to last forever, right? Thankfully, Mom, my wife, had some aloe for me to put on it last night. That helped a lot, helped cool it down, helped that pain ease. And I also know that pain's going to fade. It's going to go away here. And it kind of was a reminder to me that things happen in our lives, things that are painful, things that hurt even, like a sunburn, or even worse, things that can happen in our lives. But those pain, those things go away. And in our lives, when things really hurt us, when we're sad or down, there's a place we can turn for some of that comfort, isn't there? Can't we turn to God? Can't we? We can pray to God. We can ask God to help us. We can have others around us who pray for us. And that was my reminder that just like that sunburn hurt me a little bit right now, I'll have other times I get hurt. But God will be there. My friends, my church, my family, they'll be there to help me through that time. And the pain will fade, and I'll learn. I'll remember next time, you better well believe I'm going to be checking to make sure I have a bathing suit next time I go to the pool. We learn. We learn from those mistakes at times, don't we? And so I just wanted to remind you guys of that when those mistakes happen, when we learn from them, we grow and we get stronger, we get better, and we have others to be there with us to support us through it, just like our church, just like our family, just like our friends. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to know that we have a God who loves us and helps us through those times. So I want you guys to remember that, and I want you guys to have a good time going back to Odyssey, so I'm going to say a word of prayer for you before you head back there, all right? Will you guys pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for these boys and girls. I thank you for all the boys and girls of our church, that we can continue to learn and grow together, that we can continue to see how much you care for us throughout our lives, through all the good things that happen and through the struggles and challenges that we have. Because we know you're with us, God. We know that you send other people into our lives to love us and support us. And we're so thankful for that. So I just pray you give us that reminder when we need it. Help us to know that we are not alone, that we are loved by so many, loved by you, and that we can love others in return for the same reasons. Lord, we love you. We pray in your name. Amen. Well, thanks for coming up, guys. You're welcome to head back to your seats. Or back to Odyssey with Ms. Margie, all right? All right. We do take time each Sunday, take time to celebrate those joys we have in our lives, those things we have to celebrate, but also those needs, those concerns, the hurt and heartbreak that we might have going on. Right now I have two that I wanted to celebrate, two things that were shared with me. The first being that Frank is back with us this Sunday, that Frank Brown is here. It's good to see you, Frank. I'd gotten a message from Nancy that said, you better believe he's going to be there this week. So I'm glad you made it with us, Frank. Glad you're doing well. And the other one, I'd gotten word from Becky. We had a blood drive earlier this week here at the church, and through that blood drive, they received 21 full donations. 21 people were able to give the full amount towards the blood drive. It was a good day. We had people from the community who came in who were able to participate. It was just a good day to have the church doors open to let those come in. We're looking forward to the next one. We don't have it on the schedule quite yet, but Becky's working with the blood the donation center, and they're going to get that arranged. So hopefully we can make it something that's a regular occurrence here. So thank you to Becky for organizing, and to everyone who was here that helped volunteer and make that possible. We really appreciate that. And those were the only ones that I had shared with me before service here today. So if anyone else has a joy or concern, Nathan has a microphone, and so does Phil here.
I got word this week that a teacher that I used to teach with in Armada passed away suddenly. Quite young music teacher, Rachel Ulinski, young adult family. Please pray for her and her family.
Keep Rachel Yelinski's family in our prayers here after her passing. Thank you.
I'll ask for your continuing prayer for Steve Presby, my next door neighbor. He's still in the hospital with pneumonia and has developed some other infection that they haven't determined what it is yet. So please continue your prayers.
prayers for Steve as he battles that pneumonia and that they're able to get him taken care of. Thank you, Matt.
And the Tigers won last night.
Good day for Devin. Are there any others to share with us this morning?
Well, it's almost 4th of July, our highest patriotic holiday that we celebrate. And it's only because of those who have sacrificed over the couple hundred years now to make this country still free. So do we have any veterans here today? If you could stand or show of hands. Yes, we continue to thank you. And also to those who are serving around the world, who are away from family and friends these holidays, let us continue to pray for their safety, for those who rule over them, especially our president, our governor, and all those who are in public service, that they would have the right touch of what God would want us to be doing. Also, I want to just say, I think I'm going to stop collecting the plastic bags for a while. We have plenty, and I'm looking for a date now where we can actually get together and start making those Plarn mats that will go all over the city of Detroit and Pontiac for those homeless who need something. Seems like there was one more thing, but I'll let it go. So I hope we all enjoy the 4th of July.
Amen. Thank you, Jenny. Who knew we had so many people with so many plastic bags stored in their houses? But thank you for leading that ministry and look forward to getting some of those mats made. Thank you, Jenny.
Continued prayer for Beth Heisen.
Continue to keep Beth in our prayers. Thank you, Nathan. Are there any others this morning? Then I'll invite us to take these that we've heard, as well as those that are on our hearts, on our minds, those needs that we know in our own lives, in the lives of our family and loved ones and neighbors. Take a moment, share them with God, share them in this time of silent prayer. Father God, we talk, we strive, we work so hard to be a friendly church. To think of ourselves as a place where everyone is welcome, where people can come and be received. But Lord, help us also to remember, to recognize that our welcome should not stay confined to the walls of this building. Remind us that we're called to adopt attitudes of hospitality to others, even those who may not return the favor to us. We're called to be willing to take the risk of hospitality into our workplaces, our homes, our community, our neighborhoods, everywhere we go. We know you reached out to people in all kinds of situations and conditions. Many of those people had been rejected by their society, by their families. They were those in need of compassionate greeting and friendship. Lord Jesus, as you have welcomed us regardless of our faults, let us also be a welcoming presence to all in your name. Let us encourage and build up rather than tear down. Let us be those who lift others in prayer, but then let us be those who reach out to truly offer a helping hand, to be present for those who are struggling in a time of need. You've shown us what it is to truly serve, to love others more than we love ourselves, to love you. Lord God, help us to serve and love for your glory, that the world might know that you are God and you love each and every one of your children. We pray this today in your holy and powerful name, as together we pray this prayer, joining our voices to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'll ask you to stand with me again as you're able for our next hymn. It's number 432, Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love. Hymn number 432. Thank you.
You may please be seated. As you are, we take just a moment to recognize, to remember, to celebrate the gifts and giving that are brought here today, the offerings that we collect, the offerings that allow us to continue to serve in our community and around the world. I am so thankful for all the efforts that are made to serve right here in Romeo, Michigan. We make a difference, but we also make a difference throughout our state, throughout our country, throughout our world because of that generosity, because of the missions and the groups we're a part of. It makes a difference. So I thank you for your offerings. I remind you the offering box is located on the wall if you wish to leave an offering here today, or you can, of course, use our online giving at romeoumc.com. But let's take a moment to celebrate, to remember, to offer our thanks with a word of prayer. Mighty God, you have poured down on us all manner of gifts and blessings. The ledger of our lives, it's overwhelmed with your goodness. Lord, it's so overwhelmed that sometimes we struggle with how small our offerings to you must seem in comparison. However, the gospel reminds us that not even the smallest act of mercy and compassion, a cold cup of water, will go unnoticed by you. So, Lord, give us the eyes to see those in need, the ears to hear those who cry for justice, the hearts to comfort those hurting and grieving. We all were to offer that cold cup of water, we could truly flood the world with compassion and care for one another. Help us to be those who start the flood. Help us to be those who reach out. For we ask this in the name of Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our second scripture reading for today comes to us from Matthew. It's chapter 10. We'll hear verses 40 through 42. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. This is the word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. If you've ever watched sports to any degree, even if you're not a fan of sports, there's probably a high probability that you have at some time or another seen one of the most time-honored celebrations in sports. When the team has won the championship or a major victory over a rival and they're celebrating that victory, what does that team do? Go ahead, Dave, put that picture up there for us. They douse their coach with a bucket of cold water, or these days Gatorade, because it's got to be labeled and advertised, of course. But for my means, it's going to be a cup of cold water. But I went searching, and that tradition, it dates back over 40 years now. It's been 40 years that coaches have been getting those coolers of cold water poured over them following a victory. And I had a preacher friend who used to try to encourage his congregation, and he aspired that he would someday preach a sermon so good that his congregants couldn't contain themselves, that they would be inspired to douse him with a bucket of water like a championship team. To the best of my knowledge, it hasn't happened yet, but I'm sure hoping I hear about it someday. And while I'm sure there's an initial shock, you can see it on that coach's face almost, initial shock of having that cold water poured over their head, I'm pretty sure there's no coach in history that's ever been upset about having that cup of cold, that bucket of cold water poured over them. It's an act of celebration and congratulations when it occurs. One of those times when that ice-cold water is appreciated. And really, it's that imagery of ice-cold water being used as a part of a celebration, a recognition of something good happening, that I really think it fits quite well and with Jesus' reference to cold water that we heard just a moment ago. A cup of cold water given to another as an act of hospitality. That gospel text that we heard just a moment ago from Matthew, it was pretty short and pretty sweet, pretty straightforward to the point, at least at first glance. But like many times when Jesus gets going, when Jesus starts teaching, I think it would do us well to take another quick look at these words, to dive into them, to slow down and really look at what is going on in this text, at what Jesus is communicating. Because first, I think it's important for us to remember it's always important for us to remember and recognize the context of any scripture that we're reading, what's taking place in the verses before and after, what's going on at that time. And these words that we just heard, they're immediately following the scripture we heard last Sunday, verses where Jesus was talking about shouting from the rooftops what we have heard, proclaiming the good news that we have learned. There were verses about peace and swords, about the value of the sparrows, the value of each and every one of us. A reminder that God even knows, God can count, God has counted the hairs on each of our heads, because that's how much care he has for each of us. And this text we heard today, it comes at the end of that teaching, the end of that speech that he was giving to his disciples, reminding them just how important each and every one of them was, how important they were to the work of spreading the word. Because at this time, Jesus is preparing those disciples to go out and spread the good news. This was to be their first mission trip, if it really comes down to it. The first time that they would go out and Jesus wouldn't be there with them, wouldn't be at their side to offer the right words, do the right thing at the right time. They were going to be on their own. And while it's their first mission, they're not being sent out. They're not going to drive nails into boards. They're not going to clean up disaster areas. That wasn't what this mission was about. They're being sent out to knock on doors, to ask people if they would like to hear about their teacher, about the Lord, about the Savior that has come to live amongst us. They're going to teach about Jesus. And I find it interesting, as Jesus is preparing them, at least as Matthew recalls it, he doesn't give them endless talking points. He doesn't tell them what to say. He doesn't give them pamphlets or scrolls to hand out and say, here, take this and read it. It'll tell you all you need to know. Instead, Jesus spends a fair amount of time telling them how hard it's going to be, the challenges they're going to face, the opposition they're going to face, the challenge it will be to take this news to the world. Then he concludes with these words about welcoming, these scriptures we just heard. And as I read these words, as I read through this scripture, it really makes it sound like it's almost going to be the responsibility of the others, of those that they're going to. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. It's going to be up to them to do the welcoming. It appears to me it's almost an escape clause for the disciples here. You make the offer and it doesn't work? Too bad. Oh well, you tried. That's almost what it reads to me as we first look at this text. Because you can't force someone to listen, can you? It's up to the recipient to accept the offer, to get the response right. It's up to that potential follower to figure out how to respond. And if they miss, it's their loss. You made the offer. You did your part. Time to move on. They've missed out. Is that really what Jesus is saying? Does that sound like the Jesus that we know through the scriptures? Give it your best shot and then forget them? I don't think so. And to be sure, to be upfront here, it's true that we cannot force anyone to accept Christ. We can't force positive reactions, responses to Christ. Because in the end, we were all given free will by our Creator. I'm not arguing that. And free will means the freedom to say no, just as much as it means the freedom to say yes. And I believe that individuals are responsible for their own choices. I'm not questioning that. But, you knew there was a but coming here, right? But, the more I look at it, the more I read the Bible and reflect on it, I find it hard to believe that Jesus was saying, just go and give it your best shot and walk away. Because the Jesus that I see, the Jesus that I have come to know and love through those scriptures, he doesn't allow us to take it or leave it mentality with other people. I don't believe that for a second, especially with sharing his love with others. Because on too many occasions, Jesus, he talks about the responsibility of the community of supporting one another, of encouraging one another, of strengthening one another. Too many times, Jesus points out that our own salvation, it's intricately connected, intricately linked to the salvation of those that we're working with, living with, praying with, teaching. We're linked together as a community, working together as a community. You all know of my love for the children and youth of this church, of every church, if I'm being honest, for the opportunities I have to spend, whether it's a few minutes on the steps with them during worship, if it's the youth group, if it's a vacation Bible school, whatever it might be, I love those opportunities to be with those students, to hear what they think, to teach and learn with them. And one of my most beloved memories comes from a mission trip that I was on with a group. We were having a conversation about Christ's return. As we were talking, one of those students, she piped right up and she asked, "Why hasn't Jesus come back yet? Couldn't he make things a whole lot better if he would just hurry up and get back here already?" It's a fair question, to be sure, isn't it? It's one that I've heard from adults asked as well. It doesn't just go to students. I've heard adults ask that. And in that moment, as we were sitting in that little chapel, I didn't have a response that came to my mind. I didn't have words to respond to that student's question. I didn't have anything come to me. So I did what any good teacher does when they don't have the answer. I turned it back to the students. And I asked the group, "Well, why do you think that is?" Hoping to at least buy myself a few moments. But after a few hesitant glances, one of the other girls in that group, she glanced around and she did that tentative hand raise, you know, the one that kind of slowly gets its way up. And when I called on her, this is what she said. "Maybe it's because we haven't done what we're supposed to do yet. He told us to go and make disciples of all people. Maybe we haven't finished doing that work, so he's waiting for us to do our job before Jesus does his." You know, sometimes the Spirit speaks, and sometimes it's not through the one who's teaching the class, who's leading the discussion. And I think that's why we need to read this passage again. Well, we really need to look at what Jesus is telling the disciples, what he's telling us about this sharing our faith thing, about this mission we've been given, the mission of spreading the gospel. "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me." What if the burden isn't really on the one who's responding, the one who's supposed to be welcoming you, but on the one who seeks to present Christ to the world, on those who are sent to do this mission? What if Jesus is not giving the disciples a free pass on this hospitality thing? But what if he's really significantly raising the bar? Because Jesus tells them their task, tells them what they're to do. But Jesus doesn't say, "Go out and mumble some sort of weak invitation. I know you're probably busy. I know you're probably not really interested, but I'm going to church. Do you want to?" "No, I know you don't want to go." "It's okay, fine." That's not what Jesus is telling them to do, is he? Is that what Jesus is telling us to do? I don't think so. I don't think that's really welcoming. I don't think that's inviting. That's not sharing what we know. Not sharing the passion that we've felt in becoming a Christian for ourselves. Jesus has told us that our task is to be Christ, to be like Christ in the world. Jesus was not a timid individual. Jesus did not go meagerly to others to share what he was trying to pass on. Jesus encourages us to go and give them him, to greet them and engage in conversations with those that we meet and encounter, to give them a chance to welcome us in, to welcome Christ into their homes, into their hearts, and into their souls. And too often, I think we can be guilty of falling into the trap of thinking, that's somebody else's job. That's for somebody else to do. That isn't my job. That's the job of professional Christians, for the pastors or evangelists or theologists. That's their responsibility. They're the ones charged with representing Christ in the world. I hate to tell you this, but no. No, that's not it at all. Never once did Jesus say he was going to pick a couple of select people to go and share this good news. Nor did he say that he was hand-selecting the chosen ones that were to do this. Rather, he made it pretty clear that to follow him, to be his disciple, to believe in him, we're taking on this responsibility of sharing what we know, of proclaiming what we know. And I think that might be why Jesus takes some time to almost itemize those people that are to be a part of this in this passage. Whoever welcomes a prophet, whoever welcomes a righteous one, whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones. As I dug into some of my commentaries and some of those theology books, scholars have debated what these delineations, the prophets, the righteous, the little ones, what that means. There's been discussions and arguments about it, and of course nobody agrees on what Jesus meant exactly, why he listed these three separate groups. But it seems to me it is a reminder from Jesus that there are not specific individuals charged with being Christ in the world. There are not those who are to take this on as a full-time job while others only have to worry about it for an hour a week. It's meant to be the job of us all. And the prophets could be the called out ones, those put into positions of leadership, the pastors and teachers set aside for the task. Paul would go on later to say that a prophet was to be a traveling preacher, one who didn't settle in an area, but came in to stir things up, make people think, and then move on. The righteous ones could be those leaders in the church, in the life of the church, the ones whose lives are examples of the faith, whose wisdom is sought out for making decisions. And then there's the little ones that Jesus spoke of. And I think instantly our minds, my mind at least, goes to the little ones, the ones who gather on the steps in our church, right? The little children. But then I realized who was making this proclamation. This was Jesus Christ making the proclamation about little ones. Who were the little ones to him? It was all of us. Each and every one of us is a child of God in his eyes. Each of us is a little one who is called to receive and then share this love. New Christians and lifelong saints, children, young people, and the elders, all of them are to be a means by which Christ's love and life are shared in this world. We are called to be the face of Christ to the stranger, to our neighbor, to co-workers, to families. We are called to be Christ. So when we really stop, when we really look at this passage, there are two possible responses. One is we can become bearers of cold water. That we can take that cold water, that we can offer that glass to those who thirst. Maybe, if we need to, we can even pour buckets of it over people's head to wake them up, if that's what's needed. Because that's what Jesus has told us in this text. He has raised hospitality to eternal significance, something that we should take seriously. We're called to look at and examine the structures in place, to ask how we're doing with this welcoming, this hospitality thing, to encourage more and more people to be a part of the work of the church, to understand that it is all of our responsibilities. It's all of our responsibilities to take hospitality just as seriously as Jesus did. But then there's the second response to this passage. And I think it's equally important. It's one that I sometimes struggle with, I'll be honest. And it is to receive hospitality as Jesus tells us to do so. Now hear that again, because I think it's important. We need to be ready and willing to receive hospitality when it is offered to us. Because this scripture is literally about receiving hospitality. So how then do we accept those cold cups of water when they are offered to us? Can Christ be seen in our gratitude as well as in our generosity? Do our words and our actions allow others to extend that hospitality that we might receive it, that we might allow them to welcome Christ in? Can we embrace and remember that whoever welcomes you welcomes me? It is an act of grace to accept that hospitality from others. It is inviting Christ to be in their lives. Can we strive to be those who allow others to welcome Christ into their hearts? John Wesley famously said, it's been quoted by many a Methodist pastor since he wrote it, "I look upon all the world as my parish. Thus far I mean that in whatever part of it I am, it is my duty to declare unto all that are willing to hear the glad tidings of salvation. All the world is my parish." It's not within the four walls of a church. It's not within our own house, our own community. All the world is our parish. It is our mission field. It's where we're called to share the gospel message. It's where we're called to welcome others. Where we're called to allow others to welcome us. Perhaps with that cold glass of water. Perhaps with whatever it might be that they have to welcome us. We are called to be those who welcome and receive that welcome. We must remember, the world begins right here in our own sanctuary, in our fellowship hall, at the doors of our church. It's how we interact with one another that lets those on the outside see where our heart truly lies. How we treat others is how we treat each other. If we're not willing to be loving and welcoming and gracious with one another, why would the world think that's how we want to be with them? If we expect to be Christ in the world, then we must start with how we treat one another, acknowledging our faults, our missteps, the hurt we may have caused to one another, seeking for forgiveness, but then striving to do so much more, to be more welcoming, more loving, more Christ-like, that we might take the gospel out to the world as a community of faith. I hope, I pray, that we can continue to prepare those cold cups of water to take out in the world, that we can offer them with strength and conviction, that we can share that passion that we have in our hearts with others, that we can offer the hope and promise that we have found. Let us quench a thirst that many don't even know they have. Let us give them a chance to welcome Christ into their hearts. And in that interaction, in that time of welcoming and being welcomed, that act of sharing, we might just find that we ourselves are growing closer to Christ, closer to God, through that experience, through that interaction. We might grow closer to the one who stands ready to welcome us into our eternal reward in heaven. Thanks be to God for those refreshing cups, sometimes refreshing buckets of water that are poured out in our lives. Thanks be to God, and amen. In just a moment, I'm going to lead us in the liturgy for our communion today, for the receiving of the Lord's Supper. And we will again be coming forward to receive the bread and the cup. We're still growing and learning how to do this together. 3 years of not doing it has made us forget some of the traditions we had in the church. So today, as you come forward, we're gonna try it. We're gonna see how it works. If it doesn't work, we'll throw it out and try again next week or next month. That's what Janet and I decided. But when I invite you two, we're gonna invite both the middle and the row to my left. You'll both come forward by this aisle. This aisle. You'll step in the middle and come forward by this aisle, and then you can reach. Return by the outside aisles. We're going to try to keep everyone moving, try to get everyone up here to receive. If you go the wrong way, we'll still give you your communion, I promise. If there's anyone who feels more comfortable remaining in the pews, please feel free to do so. Just catch one of the usher's eyes. We'll be glad to bring the elements to you once we have given it. And that also reminds us that it is the practice, it is the tradition and belief of the United Methodist Church that this is the Lord's Supper. This is Jesus' gift offered to all of us. All are welcome to come forward to receive. All who wish to know and love Jesus are welcome to come and receive the elements today. So will you join me in the liturgy, the words of which will be on the screens. Christ our Lord invites all to his table, all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and before one another, saying together, Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. This proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You have made from one every nation and people to live on all the face of the earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, saying together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Christ took the bread. He gave thanks to God. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, all of you. This is my body broken for you for the forgiveness of sins. Likewise, when the supper was over, Christ took the cup, again giving thanks to God, gave it to his disciples, saying, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. In just a moment, I'm going to ask those who are serving to come forward to receive, and then they'll be in place. I did ask that you come by the center aisles. Once you've come, you're welcome to take your bread and your cup and receive them. If you would like, you're welcome to take a moment to kneel at the kneeling rail. If you want to have a moment of prayer up front here, you're welcome to have that. I'll also be positioned right here in the middle. If you want me to pray for you, if you want to have a moment of prayer with me, please come forward. I'll be happy to pray with you as we receive our elements today. So with those who are serving, please come forward to receive. Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to come together, this time to worship, to sing those songs, to lift you our prayers, our needs, to hear your word. Lord, I pray that your Spirit talk to each of us, touch us in the times and the ways that we need in the days ahead. Lord, we are thankful for the opportunity to share in this reminder, this celebration of the Lord's Supper. Reminder of just how much you love us, the grace you have extended to each of us. Help us to move forward as those who have received that grace, who have acknowledged it, who have let it change us, that we might go into the world to share it with others. Father God, we love you. We pray as always in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand for our final song if you're able, please.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's restless heart. You lead us by still waters and to mercy. And nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Great is your love and justice, God of Jacob. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation. And all your people sing along. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough, never reaching down to us. Your grace is enough for me.
As we go, do not be afraid to welcome others. Take your welcoming, accepting spirit to all those whom you meet. welcome and embrace, offering the cup of life-giving water. May God go with you on your journey this week and all your days. Thanks be to God. Amen.